Imagine if James Dean was fresh instead of cool. It's Rebel Without a Cause with turntables and eight ball jackets. We saw Cool as Ice, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for Out of Disco Break. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Can't you do your wonder? Out of Disco Break. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to a very special edition of How Did This Get Made? We have a very special episode this week, because not only are we talking about the Vanilla Ice classic, Cool as Ice, but we have an amazing guest in studio to talk about the film. That's right, the one, the only Vanilla Ice, but he's not going to be here for the entire episode, just for the last 15 minutes. So, enjoy that, it's coming up. But in the meantime, please welcome my fabulous co-host, June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. Hi, Paul.
And Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
What's happening?
We have a very special guest here in the studio today to talk about the movie. You've seen him on a million different things, most notably and most recently, Children's Hospital.
Sure.
Brian Husky.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. Husky.
Oh, hi.
All right. Let's get into this movie.
Okay. I want to thank you for exposing me to art.
You're welcome.
This is a very important film.
I honestly, when I was watching this movie for the first couple of minutes, I was like, really? Really?
Well,
what?
Maybe you want to say for the first 6 minutes, which are the opening credits.
Yes. I did too. I was like, I gotta see how long this was.
I stopped it right at the end of the credits. Like, oh, a 6 minute credit sequence.
Because I kept on, I was cooking dinner, and so I kept on
thinking,
we get it. Like,
we get it. You don't have to brag so much about how you cook dinner.
I kept on thinking, like, okay, I'm just going to do this one thing while the opening credits is on.
Sure.
And then I came back and they were still
going. Was it Julianne Carrots?
Yes, it's Julianne Carrots, salmon.
But the opening is a music video.
Yeah.
It's like a $30 music video. It's there's no production value there, and that's the leading point of your movie.
No fewer than six legitimate terrible music videos in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's done better ones on MTV at this point too, right?
Yeah, but it was at the height of like the 90s backlit. Just like, shooting through an air vent fan that's flipping around so the lights flash. And that one thing just had, it was just crazy. And
guys, Naomi Campbell is singing backup
for this.
Naomi
Campbell
appearance.
Is singing backup, and she gives like an opening, she's like one of the opening
special
credits.
It's a,
and then she disappears.
Yeah.
And then
she's
done her job.
Well, I don't even understand, because that opening, they try to tie it to the movie, like, I guess he performed at this club.
Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Maybe.
Because he's leaving that club in the first scene, and then he like signs that autograph, or the girl gives him his number.
The sticker.
But like, the big mystery of the movie is like, what is his job?
What is it?
Like, is he a rapper?
Anything?
Yeah.
What is anything in this movie? This movie was through the looking glass from the word go. I literally was like,
Geo, you mean?
Who and what is happening?
Well, it was like, okay, so they busted out in some warehouse space for
like an urban den.
Which is not really, there's no audience. It's mainly everyone dancing together.
Everyone's in the video and dancing under fire sprinklers.
So it's kind of a fight club for dancing.
Yes.
That he's part of.
Felt a little Blade-esque in there.
And then cut to beautiful, pristine, like, Indiana countryside that is just riding along.
Land for days. I mean, as far as the eye can see.
Well, I was like, they get on motorcycles, and I was like, did they just ride to Nebraska? Like, what is it? Where are they?
Honestly what I
and
think.
And why are they there?
This is what I had to come up with for myself. Okay, I think that these were... that they were psyched to go on a bike ride together.
Right.
And get out of the city.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They had
this
to get away.
So they had been riding for a long time.
Wait, can I tell you what my theory is? They're a touring rap group, and they were moving from one city to the next, and they
with
were...
No equipment.
Crotch
rockets.
Well, we'll find out later that they don't need equipment, but that's later, guys.
I was like, when they are fucking just... riding motorcycles, and they're all of a sudden like in like the prairies, and the broad is like riding her horse, and he jumps his motorcycle.
Well, that was a big moment for me too.
he starts racing the horse.
Yeah. He races the horse, and he flirtatiously jumps a fence and makes this woman fall off the horse,
makes
maybe
the horse
break her spine.
Yes, of course.
It's not a big deal.
Okay, I gotta say, that's the craziest way to meet a lady in a movie. Like, it wasn't
like terrify her horse.
It wasn't like, oh, he like hit a mud pile and it splashed on her face. It's like she fell off a horse.
When that horse rears its body and
she
head,
was bucked
off. It's like a scary moment.
Yeah, totally. And the fact that a motorcycle came like inches away from her face over his head, he's like, "What's up?"
And then she's like, "Get away from me!" And he's like, "Yup." She likes me.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
No! You wound, you almost killed this person.
I'm a very stupid person.
Guys,
check that out.
This, okay. Can anybody tell me why they just set up shop at that weird Beetlejuice house?
Okay, without.
I mean,
the Pee Wee Playhouse.
Why is that? Wait! Well, I'm not kidding, guys. Why is they, did they, were they going to that house?
No.
Was that their destination?
No,
the bike
broke
down.
But that's the thing that made no sense, because the guy came out and started to say how much he would give for the bike.
Yes, for
and
Vanilla Ice's bike.
Yeah, for Vanilla Ice. So I was like, okay, so maybe they just decided to take out the pages that talked about the sale of the bike.
Well,
and
because
now they're
the guy
here.
Was like, oh, you're late. I thought you were coming before. Okay. Yeah. The guy was acting like he was expecting them.
Well, right. That guy was crazy.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, he was
acted totally normal.
What I thought was he was a free spirit because his house was a wonderland of whimsy. It was so crazy.
You guys, those people had no children.
No.
Like, what the fuck?
They were motorcycle repair people, apparently.
Well, barely,
genius.
I mean, barely. They were like, they lived in a Pee Wee Playhouse house.
Yes.
With like multiple globes on the front lawn. The house had a big map on the side of it. Like, I mean, it was insane. And he comes out in like a railroad conductor's hat. Yeah. And he's like, but. And he's talking like that, too.
Yeah,
like,
I molest children.
Yeah.
And he
was like a cartoon character.
If you reveal that this character had killed people, like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, totally. That's the weird. But they're driving through, like, this Pleasantville of this, and everyone is staring at people on motorcycles?
Yeah, what?
Well, no, the reason why they were staring, you guys, is because.
Don't go there.
One
Wait
of the
a minute.
Motorcycles oh, wow. had broken down. Yeah. And so they were towing another one by a rope.
Guys. You're talking about the classic towing scene.
I think what was really happening is people were like, there are black people in our white town.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
But that's not a premise of the movie. Like, I agree. Like, I thought that too, but. The leader, Vanilla Ice, is white.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that never is brought up again. The black-white issue is almost so... I mean, because the black people never leave that one little area.
So later in the movie, when the old woman is like, my grandson is blah, blah, blah. It's not his grandparents.
No,
like,
she's covering
She
him.
Is covering. That's what I thought. But then later, when she said it, I was like, maybe I just missed something.
I think what must have happened is that the bike broke down.
Yeah, well,
they
remember
found a phone.
They broke down the middle of the street.
They broke down the middle of the street.
All the traffic couldn't cross the double yellow line.
Yes,
and then I think that the director said, "Everyone, fucking act as hard as you can. If an extra, act the fucking shit out of this
like
scene."
Like the camera pans faces and everyone's wide eyed and mouth agape. It is basically. I was thinking about like what is so familiar. And I was like. This, like, every actor in the Parents Just Don't Understand video, like, that's what they look like. Their hair is in rollers. Like, it's like, and their face is like, what? Like, they're acting in a silent movie.
There is one really racist reaction shot when there's an older guy who's waiting behind them, and he doesn't understand what the holdup is, and then he looks out and sees that it's a bunch of black kids.
Yeah.
And he reacts
and
like,
Vanilla.
And jumps back in the car.
Yeah, he literally pulls his hat over his face. He's like, I'm gonna hide under my hat.
So basically, Vanilla Ice and his band of hip-hop performers?
Vaudevillians?
Who knows? They're at that house, and they instantly...
They break down, and they get to stay in this town. That's all I wanted to say, but go
ahead. They break down, and the people, the old couple who live in the magical, like, weird house, are like, we can fix this bike. And they're like, okay, how long is it going to take? They're like, a day. And so then there's a music montage where one dude makes a pickle sandwich.
Oh, no, a pickle, peanut butter, sardine, and pineapple and
with
mustard.
That's the singer.
And he eats it. He's like, this is good.
The girl eats blue hard-boiled eggs.
And uses gigantic salt shakers, which look, it's kind of a visual joke.
Yes.
Where it looks big in the foreground, and she picks it up, and it's really actually big.
And no salt came out of it. Or there was it was
pure. The weirdest thing about the movie, too, is like the way that there were no like establishing shots of these rooms and stuff.
No.
So you're just cutting from the outside into these like tight close-ups, and it's like for a long time, it's like, where are we?
And they're
like,
also,
like, what writing, room are we in?
There's writing all over the walls. Yes, it's like, it's craziness.
Are we in a different house now?
Yeah, there,
like,
there's that cello chair or something that I kept seeing. It was like, there's an upright bass note. That's a chair. Okay, I remember that.
Well, you immediately knock down your premise. The like basically, it's like, okay, so what would happen if these, you know, quote unquote, like, black, you know, hip-hop people come to your town? And it's like a white town. But then they go to the craziest person in town's house, and it's like, well, that wait, let's deal with that now. Because it's like there's no...
I feel like the writing process on this was, well, we want to get here. Like, we want him to meet her, and we want this to happen. So let's just put them here, which is down the street from there. Like, there's no logic to it. It's all about just sort of like, well, we need this scene. So make this scene sort of lead up to that scene, but don't explain it.
People say it is a remake of Rebel Without a Cause. I'm not so familiar with Rebel Without a Cause, but is there a Pee-wee's Playhouse house in there? Yeah. Does he stay with a bunch of crazies?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shot for shot remake. That's pretty amazing. It's just a fashion update. That's all it is.
Oh my God.
His outfits are unbelievable.
Well, fantastic.
Here's what I thought. If you paid attention, if you really paid attention to his license plate, that was it said "State of Mind" on there.
Ooh.
Remember that "State of Mind"?
Yeah, so you think this whole movie takes place in a dream state?
I think that he fucking took a ton of drugs and he went to sleep, and this is the madhouse that's going on in his brain.
I do want to know who the idea about who is behind this, because it really is in the writing of this. It is crazy. I'm gonna actually look now. Did he write it?
He wrote. He worked on a bunch of
I gotta say, I think if you put all of his dialogue together in the movie, it would be like one page.
Yes.
Like, he didn't really have much to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why was okay? So wait, we're getting way off track because
we need to focus.
So so they move into the Smurf house or whatever the fuck they're living in, right? And he's now fallen in love with the girl on the horse who inexplicably lives across the street from the crazy house that they're not staying in.
Yes.
So he starts. Ione Sky.
He starts courting her, but then she's on TV. Michael Gross, the TV's family ties dad, is her dad. She's on TV for no reason.
Well, she's on TV.
She's profiled on TV for no reason.
An honor student who likes to ride horses.
Who cares? Yes. Why is that? That is not newsworthy.
Well, it's not even local news. It's not local news.
That's it, exactly, because the gangsters see it in like wherever they are. So this is like a huge story about a girl and her horse that has no point to it. She didn't do anything on the horse. She's not a champion.
And this horse almost killed her. Can we 15 minutes ago.
I do have the scene where Vanilla Ice comes to meet Bobo Ione Sky and kind of flirt with her again. Now,
wait, why are we calling her Bobo Ione Sky?
Did you just call her that?
She looks like Ione Sky, I thought.
What does Bobo mean, though?
Like sort of the poor man's version.
Oh, I've never heard that.
I like Bobo. So basically,
you're welcome, you guys.
This girl was flipped off her horse. And then Vanilla Ice runs away on his motorcycle. And then he sees her at his house, and he's going to go out back and approach her. And she's, like, kind of into him, like, for no reason. So here's a scene. You can hear it a little bit.
What the hell is that?
Don't ask me.
That's her bizarro boyfriend.
Oh, I hope he says that line.
How you doing?
Fine.
And the horse?
And the horse? Since when do you care?
Wait a minute. You two know each other.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, which is it, Kathy? Kathy.
I just want to say this scene does not take place in a music club.
We're wasting his time.
This is just
the soundtrack. Oh, no, you're not wasting my time. I'm just cooling.
This is outside.
Yeah.
Ben, you're wasting our time.
Oh, she just
missed it. I get it. Check this, though. If you need me, I'll be right over there.
She won't.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Oh, yeah, Kat. Words of wisdom. Drop that zero and get with the hero.
I wrote that down because I was like, I gotta use that. That's so good.
And she came at that moment.
Yeah. She liked it. Oh, my God.
I'm glad you mentioned that because the music is...
always present.
The music for every moment... it tells you how to feel about the character. Like, you know, they have the crazy music for the crazy people. And then the father, they have like all this domestic music and like tranquil music, and he's always club. But they'll like have a scene where they cut to someone else for like a second, like walking across the street. It's like, and they'll go back. Like,
there is.
It's like she has elements of like Tree of Life. And then it's like, what am I? Wow. Right, okay, now I'm watching this. And
I thought the exact same thing. This is just like Tree of Life.
And what about.
Did Terrence Malick make this movie?
What was the like Requiem for a Dream freak out on drugs scene where they show the house for the first time, and oh, then, right before they watch the show, they show the family like reading the paper.
I think what they were trying to do was to say, like, this is a girl who really needs to, like, totally go nuts, and this is sort of the height of the routine of domesticity.
I really felt
like, look at that.
That's interesting.
June did write her term paper on Cool as Life.
I thought it was cool just to reference Requiem for a Dream.
I really felt like in this movie, and it's interesting that I said Beetlejuice and you said Pee-wee's Playhouse, I felt like this movie was a Tim Burton ripoff, and that the people were trying to ape Tim Burton's stylistic choices to make it, because even like the suburban landscape is very Edward Scissorhands, the house is very Beetlejuice and very Pee-wee's Playhouse. Like there is tons of Tim Burton... I felt like that's how they sold
it. Do you want to hear something pretty amazing?
Oh, boy.
Do you want to know who the cinematographer of this movie is? Janusz Kaminski, who is Steven Spielberg's DP.
What?
So he has done War Horse, Funny People, Indiana Jones, all of them. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, Munich. Like, this is his first foray. So the movie does look beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it actually does look beautiful, but it is directed by a crazy person. But Janusz Kaminski, the guy who did Saving Private Ryan, Armageddon, Amistad, Jerry Maguire, Little Giants, Schindler's List. Like, I mean, he's done. Like, this is like...
Is there a moment where he's on set of Schindler's List with Spielberg and he's like, I'm assuming he has an accent because his name is Janusz Kaminski. Yeah. He's like... Well, we can do this one shot that I did on Cool as Ice.
I remember.
We can steal that shot and we can do it here in this movie.
I said it's, Vanilla.
Yes.
This needs to be the shot.
We start on Vanilla Ice, but in this case it is a Schindler and we move over here.
Are they going to be dancing as he shoots them down? Because that's how that original scene was.
Now, it's so weird too in their courting process because he has her organizer.
Yeah.
Yes, her black book, which was all of her scholarship information.
Which I also like that they do this twice. They show you afterwards that this happened, but there's no simple shot of him reaching in the bag and getting something. It's just like, I got this thing. Now I'll explain why I have this thing.
She said, somebody took my black book. They're not
my
even
organizer. They say organizer like 50 million
they're not
times
even
in this
close
movie.
Enough. They're not even close enough for that to happen. Yeah. Like there
I
could be no sleight of hand.
I assumed it fell off the horse. Am I wrong?
I thought it was in her bag. I'm confused now. She was riding the horse with like a purse?
No, I don't know.
Always has her organizer with her.
That's true.
She keeps it in
that's
her.
Guys,
true.
Oh my God, there is so much more of this movie we need to talk about.
So basically, you have this courtship, which is not even a courtship because she's kind of into him.
She wakes up and he's in her bed feeding her ice?
I like that scene.
Guys, she does not know his name. She wakes up, he is in her bed jamming ice in her goddamn mouth like fucking Spike Lee in Do the Right Thing.
That's how she wakes up. That's what it feels
like, too. It has a lot to do the right thing.
That was the craziest shit I'd ever seen.
Well, it is she like the courtship thing. She goes, like, at first, that guy, Nick, everybody calls Dick.
Yeah.
Totally fine. There's no indication that he's an asshole.
No.
Nothing.
He's like preppy or whatever.
Yeah, he's just kind
of
like
an alcoholic.
And he just says, like, you know, when you go away to school, I don't want us to, you know, break up. And then as soon as he shows up, he's like the biggest fucking piece of
just the worst asshole. And one of the reasons why he's a terrible asshole is that he's never taken the girl's brother in a like a joyride in his fancy car.
Yeah.
Like that was like that's why he's a bad
it's so
dude.
Weird too, because at first
and he
you
drinks.
Think like
and he
and
underage
he drinks.
Drinks.
But at first you think he's like a rich asshole. Mm-hmm. And then like a scene later it's like, oh no, he's a country hick.
Yeah.
Like outside the bar with all these guys. Like it was so strange.
Yeah, he's like wearing a flipped up collar shirts and then he's like, I'm gonna break your bike, man. It's like there's so much here. And the thing that's the most confounding to me is Michael Gross, you know, Alex P. Keaton's dad from Family Ties.
Oh my God.
Is in
line.
The witness.
We sorry. Haven't even established this storyline, and it is huge.
And they do not establish what it is until I think it was like 54 minutes in. I wrote down, tell us the truth. You keep mentioning the truth. And so we know there's trouble because the bad guys have seen the guys on TV. They show up.
Basically, that news story activated these bad guys.
These bad
basically
guys who history. Come and park outside of
yes,
our house.
Yes, I wrote that down too. It's like they come in the daytime, park right in front of the house, and are like, come on, we'll come back when it's dark. You've been there!
sitting
on the roof of the sitting on the hood of the car.
So what's the game
outside
plan?
Outside the car.
Because the game plan essentially was just to walk up, knock on the door, and say, "Hey, we're here." Like that was the.
Say, you know what? We're gonna give you a day. We'll be back later.
Back off. Back
and
off.
Then it's not a day.
We still have gotten. We still have not explained it. Michael Gross, TV's Family Ties father. Yeah. Is in the witness protection program because he turned state's evidence against dirty cops.
Yeah, right. Kind of, but he said he used to work with some bad cops and I wasn't going to be a bad cop. So they put me in the witness protection program.
No, internal affairs. So when internal affairs asked me about it, I told.
So was he a cop?
He was a cop. He was a good cop. Which, by the way, I do not believe for an instant. He does not.
By the way,
cop
Michael, but he always creeps me out when he doesn't have the Family Ties beard. I don't like
him. Yeah, I don't like seeing that.
Wasn't he like without the beard? Wasn't he like a molester?
Yes.
In some
Lifetime movie.
So I don't even understand. So. Like, he put these guys away, or I don't know.
But it seemed that they wanted money from
him. Well, that's the other
him.
Thing.
That's what I couldn't track, why they thought he had $500,000.
He just said, and now they want some money that they think I owe them.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, are they just like, you know what, on principle, give us $500,000.
And were those guys the cops that he put in jail?
Yes.
They were free now.
Yes.
It did feel like a child wrote it. Like a child, like I feel like a child was like, and then it's like Axe Cop.
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh my god, I love that book.
Axe Cop is amazing. He's like, but like, and then the bad guys come because he was,
and they're riding dinosaurs.
But it does. It feels that way also for the directing because like it's like, all right, park the car here.
Yeah,
no, that's okay. It won't be. You can't see it on camera. Yeah, but we're just gonna pan over. It's like, I don't. That's okay. I'm tired. I don't want to walk over across the street.
And here's my question. So Jack McGee and the other guy,
the bad cops.
They think that Michael Gross has cash in the house?
$500,000 of cash.
Maybe I'm assuming, and we shouldn't even poke too hard at this because it's a fucking rabbit hole of insanity, but like maybe they think that he profited by selling them out and then he took their dirty cop money.
I don't think that was ever a consideration by anyone in making this film. I think they're just like, okay.
My favorite scene was when the cops come to the door, the bad cops come to the door, they knock on the door, he opens up like, "Hey, how you," whatever his name is, like, "how you doing, Steve?" And he's like,
Jimmy.
He's like, "I'm not Jimmy. I'm Oliver Gordon." Yeah. And like, he's like, but he's so nervous when he's saying, like,
and
but also, like, why are you lying? Like, of course they know who you are.
And why did he go on, like, national television?
That's what I was, that's history
program.
Of violence, too. In history of violence, I'm like, why does Viggo Mortensen get on TV?
But I mean, here,
although
like,
now
Viggo
that
Mortensen
I'm thinking about
TV,
it, I do think he looked a little shifty during that interview with the daughter.
He was trying to not. It's about her. It's about her. But just don't do the interview then.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't like. Just don't get the. Again, why was it a national news?
And the other thing,
item?
they did
that's
say
that's the bigger question.
They said they had 24 hours to get the money. Okay.
Arbitrary.
They got 2 days, and then they were given an extra day.
Yeah.
Well, the time of this movie, it's also like these kids who've been sitting in this mechanic's playhouse.
Yeah.
Did they have an extra set of clothes? I mean, they were there.
They were
also
cutting
long.
Vanilla Ice brought a lot of hats.
Yeah,
we'll tell you that. He did have a lot of hats.
They also were cutting for some reason between day and night, like constantly.
Yes.
Like it would be like the middle of the day, and they'd be like, "Well, she's at the Sugar Shack," and then they'd cut to the Sugar Shack, and there's a rock band on. I'm like, "Is it like 5 o'clock in the afternoon?" And it's a rock. What is the time frame?
They are in Alaska.
I could not figure out what was happening time wise.
I also got pulled in by the jacket that Vanilla Ice was wearing.
Of course,
yeah.
He has two jackets. One's an orange one, and then there was another one which was just words and
Down by law.
Sex.
I saw that.
I think I actually think Stussy ponied in a lot of money for this because there's always a prominent Stussy limo right on his hat or on his.
I mean, they
shirt.
Must have thought like this movie. I mean, this movie is.
Wow.
I mean, we're hoping that this is going to be a huge
hit. Well, one of the craziest sequences is when Vanilla Ice and Bobo and Sky go out. Finally, like, he gives her back her organizer.
Montage?
Oh, yeah.
He gives her back the organizer, which is, like, also, it was such a weird, like, why wouldn't he have just given it to her immediately?
Yeah.
Like, when she kept on saying, like, "I'm not going to go out with you and I'm not interested unless I get my organizer."
Ice knows.
He knew how to play it?
He knew. He could tell.
He's
right.
playing
he
it like
tell.
A hero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a zero.
So finally, they go out together and have a day date together.
Well,
they have a date montage.
Yeah, he took her to the best place to have a date.
Yeah.
This is
a construction site.
That to me is so like 80s though. It's like so perfectly like it is like it's where they're building the new homes.
Right.
That's where they're gonna go and like have a day.
But once they bond, then they go to the desert.
Yep.
And then they go to a field with a horse.
Yep.
And then they go back to the construction site.
One of the best moments though is watching Vanilla Ice try to get on that horse.
Oh.
His first attempt, he just simply throws his whole body across the horse.
Was that done for comedy, or you think that was real?
I think that was done for comedy.
Yeah.
I think that was done for comedy.
Because to let you know, that took 8 hours to shoot that, because he's so not funny.
It's the best thing I've ever seen.
The best thing I've ever saw was the romantic parkour around the construction site.
This is what I wrote. Yes, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
It's just basically like
peek-a-boo.
A four-minute montage of them playing peek-a-boo with the camera while music's playing. There's no sound.
Yeah.
And they're just jumping over, like,
swinging.
This whole thing felt like one half, like, romantic falling in love montage and one half training montage in a sports movie. You know what I mean?
Because
his shirt comes off. He's sweating.
Yeah.
They're riding in the desert. I'm like, is this, like, an intensity that the intensity of, like, physical exertion, or are they falling in love? I don't understand.
Also, is he in high school? Can we
We don't know much about him, because all we know is when he says the best line in the movie, in my opinion, what's it like to have parents?
Oh my god, I wrote that down too!
Yeah, yeah.
And brothers and stuff.
And brother and stuff.
And then, but then he's shifty, then he's not going to give it up. Because what is it? You have to, if you're not true to yourself, you're not true to anyone.
Or if you
another. And then she goes, it's good. And he's like, don't you want to ask me anything? And she's like, no, I think I know everything. And then cut to her going, so where are you from? And I'm like, what? What is going on?
But also, like,
this all happens. This whole sequence of their day of like falling in love is so crazy, and their conversation is insane.
Yeah.
Their physicality is insane. There is like nothing. She is basically, oh, and that's the scene that starts with her waking up with him in her bed.
Right.
And she's like, shh, don't want to wake up my parents. And then they proceed to have a full loud conversation in the house.
and then the brother walks in on them.
She almost
stripped for
her. Yeah, she almost starts to take her clothes off.
Yes.
Like,
the little brother's like, when you're done having the sex.
No, when you're done making sex.
Making sense.
Tommy says the funniest stuff in the movie. For me, Tommy is an imp. He's a little precocious.
Just so you guys know, the woman who played Kat, Kathy, is still working up until this day. She is doing a lot of movies. She's been in over 30 different movies. Since
I found her. This was her trial by fire. Yeah. I thought she was charming.
No, I thought she was. Well, I kept thinking during the montage thing, I was like, this is a really good actress, because she is genuinely acting affectionate.
Yes.
And she's probably like, I want to burn my hands after touching him. This is disgusting. This guy's a creep.
The best moment that I thought she had was, you know, later on they get into a fight because her family thinks that he's one of the bad guys, which he isn't, but they tell her not to see him again. She comes back into her bedroom. She's given Ice a ring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. After their first date, a ring.
A ring to wear. He's snuck back into the bedroom and thrown that ring into a fishbowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
She walks back. This was an amazing
piece
of acting.
This is great. She comes right in.
She walks into the bedroom, opens the door,
brother is
right over to the fishbowl.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I got to relax. Let me look at my fishbowl. What a day.
Let's see what's doing with these guys.
Also, we are not even talking about the fact that Alex P. Keaton's dad, Michael Gross, assumes that, and through a bunch of weird, really bad coincidences, that Vanilla Ice is a part of the people that are supposed to be terrorizing him and his family.
Well, mainly because he saw him talking to the bad guys who were parked in front of his house
when he walked out for directions.
This is a small town. Don't you think the talk on the block would be like, oh yeah, there's a whole gang of like cyclists in that house over there. Yeah. They've been there for 3 days and they're dancing outside.
Michael Gross, okay, here's the thing. Michael Gross is in the witness protection program. The people that would want to kill him are now here. He is not nearly scared enough.
No. He doesn't call the cops.
He doesn't call the cops. He doesn't try and find money. He doesn't do anything.
That's the other thing.
It's like he doesn't try.
Yeah.
Yep.
He doesn't even try to find that money. Well, then his kid is kidnapped.
Well, that's what
his child is abducted.
But I think
that's where it goes.
I think they were really trying to make it seem like he was a bad guy. You know, they were keeping it murky for a long time.
That's interesting, Brian.
Because if you notice, if you listen to the music, at a certain point, I stopped watching. I would just listen to the music.
Are you the composer?
Yes. Very proud of most of the work I did. All on a Casio. And Yeah, and so they were playing this kind of scary, menacing music for when they would show him, like when he'd look out the window and stuff.
That's interesting.
But okay. Then, of course, the kid gets
so. what's it like having parents and a brother and all that stuff? I mean, like, that is a line from the movie.
Are we to believe that he just was existed as Vanilla Ice, ageless, like, yes. And that's him? And
Immaculate
that's,
Conception of Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
He's born
he's
of come ice. Out of nowhere. He just,
or it's just him and his pack of hip hop orphans. Yeah. Like oh, I was, man. I really was. I found this movie. Inexplicable
it's so
in its format. Like,
but all it would have taken
nothing.
Was one line of explanation, like, I'm glad we're out of that city for the day
yes.
to see your aunt.
Uh-oh, your bike is broken.
Oh, we got to get yes. to our next show. We don't
yes.
know
yeah, yeah, yeah.
where they're
there
going.
There is no, they
let's
literally
call,
drive out of the
let's call
sunset.
Motorcycle repair shop. Oh, it's this weird place. Versus, well, let's stop here. What a weird house. We fix motorcycles. What?
It's
and
like,
then the woman is reading a motorcycle user manual.
Yeah.
I was like, you've got to fucking be kidding
It really
me.
Was like one line would set up
the entire
so
thing.
Many things. And they just were they're like, no.
A lot of times.
We'll shoot it, yeah. and then they'll figure it out maybe, and then we'll do a twist so they'd be even more confused.
A lot of times on this show we wind up like talking about like overly expositional moments or moment like times when people are making or explaining too much in movies.
But not a severe detriment
this,
of
this movie.
A severe, like, you are
movie,
left.
It's crazy.
You are left to make your own
yeah.
connections.
Yeah.
It is well, a choose-your-own-adventure
yes.
this movie.
And at one point, somebody says about the gang of cyclists, like, they seem like aliens. And I was like, oh, okay, well,
yeah.
now
yeah.
we're on
oh,
to something.
I like that.
Maybe they were aliens.
Yep. Earth yeah, girls I mean, are easy.
We need to get into this.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I have nothing.
I loved the scene. Okay, when she's forbidden from. Okay. Oh, we forgot about. We didn't talk about the Sugar Shack,
oh,
the horrible
Sugar Shack.
Band.
Oh,
and
oh,
then
Sugar
Vanilla
Shack.
Ice. Yes, this is. I thought you might want to talk
okay.
about this. Okay.
What?
So they. So let me just set it up. So they. Vanilla Ice is looking for Kat, and they're like, she's at the Sugar Shack. It's like the teen. It's like the Peach Pit or
yeah.
the
yeah.
teen like rock and roll hangout. And there's a shitty band there, and Vanilla Ice and his boys come and roll up on their motorcycles and arrive, and then go ahead, Husky.
Yeah, then they're like, oh, yo, this is whack. I'm going to get on the turntable. I'm going to get on the mic.
Good news, there are turntables.
Yeah. Yeah, so they go over, they unplug the band, and the place is stocked with nerds.
Yep.
They're all nerds, and you hear all this under dialogue, like, what's going on? Oh, my God. And I heard one guy go, oh, my gosh, I'm scared.
And they're not even, like you said, they're not even nerds. They're like
tape on the glasses.
Nerds.
Yeah, sweaters, everyone. Yeah. And they're making a big deal. Like, oh, he's having alcohol. Or like, give me a Coke. But then he starts to do a sexy rap. What was the theme of it? It was something about I'm as good as it gets or something.
Yeah, that's it. I'm as good
right.
as it
yeah.
gets.
And then she comes out there and she's instantaneously a slut. Like,
yeah.
she is just.
Yeah, she is a giant slut in
yeah.
front of her boyfriend. She
and
leaves
all her
boyfriend.
Friends.
Oh my God.
And then he's like,
top of her on the ground.
Yeah.
He gets, he like mounts her on the ground and she is smiling.
Smiling,
she
giggling.
She loves it. She's breaking her routine. Go on YouTube, look at that scene because it is amazing. Or earwolf.com, we'll put it up there.
Really good dancing, too.
It's a lot of good. The dancing is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's
I
got to
say, he's a good dancer.
He's a good dancer.
But one of the things I wrote, I was like, people who got hired for this movie had to learn a ton of choreography.
Oh,
yeah.
Which also just feel, though, because there's several points when, like, minor characters dance. I feel like they just, every scene, they were like, okay, you guys, now this is for B-roll. Now just... We shot that out.
Yeah.
Now just start dancing.
Just start dancing.
Just start dancing. Everyone.
Including like the old couple from the motorcycle shop.
Everyone was dancing.
There was a really weird shot when he was, I think the boyfriend, Nick, was taking her out to scold her. And they pan across the crowd and they stop on these two black guys.
Oh,
yes. Remember that? These two black guys
who
looked like
they
were weird, like hip-hop buckwheat guys.
Yeah.
And they had like really big eyes and they just gave this like crazy look. And
I don't know what's going on. I thought in that moment, because I thought they were dressed like country bumpkins.
Okay.
And that they were seeing like, oh, wow, this is what we could be like if we lived in the city.
It is.
That's what I was taking.
I have no idea. I was like, this is a Klan film now, right? I don't know what I'm seeing.
Well,
I am so sorry to interrupt for one second.
How dare you?
I just looked at the director. I was like, oh, I wonder what this director directed. He has directed. This is pretty amazing. Well, how did he get the job? I don't know. Maybe it was the 10 Playboy video centerfolds that he did.
Oh, really?
Wow.
That's awesome.
Playboy Farmer's Daughters, Playboy Calendar, Playboy Playmate of the Year, Playboy Wet and Wild, Dutch Twins.
Dutch Twins?
The 80s, the 90s, Exposure, and then it goes Cool as Ice. And then it goes back to a handful more Playboy video centerfolds. And then Inspector Gadget.
Oh, my God!
With Matthew Broderick. Wow.
So that explains... So his attitude is, who cares about story? Let's get to the nudity. Who cares about the story? Let's get to vanilla dancing or rapping.
I mean, like, it was just like, keep it colorful. Keep it, like,
keep it moving.
Here's
keep
a real question.
Wow, that's amazing that he directed so many Playboy things.
It's all been building up to this.
Later on in the movie, after Tommy, I'm so sorry.
Tommy gets kidnapped.
They don't know where he is, but Tommy's left a voicemail
message.
Oh, and the bad guys leave the tape in an envelope on the front step.
Unmarked.
And then when Vanilla Ice happens to go there to, like, apologize, he picks it up and he's like, oh, yeah, this is for you.
The
and
again,
further
also,
implicating him to be a bad
guy.
The bad guys also show up at the house when they think nobody's going to be there, and the kid is there, and they're like, why aren't you at Little League? And it's like, why would you know he's supposed to be at Little League?
Yeah.
You're just dumb cops who've been, dumb guys who've been, like, parked outside. What?
Oh. And I thought they just dragged him to another room. Like, they didn't have any, they didn't show him being dragged outside.
They were dragging him through the house.
Nope. So the whole time that they came home, had the conversation, they were focusing on Vanilla Ice and the girl. I was like, the kid is in the other, they're fucking, what are you doing? And Chris, I was like, okay, now we're going to focus on the love story and don't worry about that.
Well, the crazy thing too is when, so I don't remember how, but I think Bobo, Ione Sky, goes to meet the gang at the mechanics and has the tape, and they listen to it, and they hear something, and they're on the tape. They're like, oh, we know where he is, which is at the construction.
No, Vanilla Ice plays it back over and over again. Goes, what's that
what
sound?
What is he hearing?
What's that
this
sound?
Is the
clunk, clang, clang, clang.
If you paid attention to the cinematographer's choice... When they pull up on the motorcycle and that machine is crushing the ground. Yeah, Janosch knew how to do this. He did this in Raiders.
Because
your bullshit script is not establishing this later, so I have to do this.
Like also, it's like, that was like right out of Sneakers. Remember that movie Sneakers? Like,
I know what it is,
But they have that same thing. It's like, Vanilla Ice has proven that he's not on the level of discerning that.
He's not a detective.
He's not shown any skill in that area.
Although he might be a detective.
I would love it if three-quarters of the way through this movie, he's like, well, you know my detective agency has been very successful.
I mean, I had to get away from my detective work in the city. That's me and my bros are out here.
Well, the crazy thing, too, is when they roll up to the construction site, they're all on their bikes, and they just stare at it.
Yeah.
And she looks at it. Her little brother's been gone for a little while. She takes a very quick look at it.
A very cursory look around.
Just forget it. Let's go.
She seems
that's it.
So uninterested in her brother's abduction. She is just so in her own head about being, like, unable to be with Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
She does not give a shit that her brother's
been abducted. She wants to get fuck.
Yeah.
She wants another ice cube.
Yeah. She's never seen anybody who has a jacket that says down by law.
Waffle pattern back haircut. Yeah. Like, his haircut, one side of it was a waffle pattern.
I just want to reiterate that she woke up the second day after meeting him with him in her bedroom shoving ice in her mouth.
And he's
cool as ice, man.
Wearing a leather jacket and shorts.
He's the only rapper. He's the only rapper that
leather
I've seen
shorts.
Is comfortable in shorts.
Yep.
Like, I've never seen that. So basically, they run their motorcycles through a wall.
Right.
Like about a 2-second fight scene with these bad guys.
The bad guys get to do a little bit of bad improv. The taller bad guy is so bad at it.
He'd
be like, you know what? We're gonna hurt you. Like, what was improv like?
Well, remember when he was like eating one time and he just like all the food just came down his face? Like, what is going on? Are you having a stroke?
I loved the scene. Okay, so when the parents have forbidden her from seeing Vanilla Ice anymore because they think he's part of the corrupt cop storyline, sort of like, he's bad news, he's out to get us, don't be with him anymore. She gets in the car with her friends, and they're telling
her,
this is an amazing scene, is that, because she's totally blown off her boyfriend, Nick, Vanilla Ice has beaten him up.
Everybody calls him Dick.
Everybody calls him Dick. Vanilla Ice has beaten him up, and all the girls are like, I mean, there is no way that Nick is ever going to take you back. I mean, you totally humiliated him. And then somebody was like, I mean, maybe if you beg him, Nick will take you back. And then it's like, no way. Not after what she did. I mean, what are you even going to do? It's the best fucking scene in the movie.
But who is she thinking about while they're talking?
Fucking Ice.
V.I. She's got a vaginal infection, and she wants it to be V.I.
Holy shit, you guys.
Why are they so mad at her?
They're furious. Cunts. They are cunts.
I do want to bring it back. So
I don't mind saying it.
No.
Those girls are fucking cunts.
They're all working in porn now anyway.
They save the day. They get the kids. Now, Vanilla Ice can go off with the girl.
Yeah.
So where does he take her? Back to that fucking club from the 7-minute opening to perform another dance number in a great suit that kind of switches every time he dances, which is awesome. But
she looked great in that.
She looked great.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Wonderful.
But they just go back to that club. So it seems like they were just going out for a joyride. I guess they perform at this warehouse every night.
Well, that's where when it went back to that, I was like, is this a dreamscape? Like, I don't know. Why are we back in this inner sanctum?
I also was like, because then there's the moody sequence where he feels rejected and he does a bunch of Brown Bunny-esque motorcycle rides through the desert.
Yeah.
And I was like, what desert are they near?
No, I know.
Also, the most unattractive.
Well, that was the desert they fell in love in.
What desert is this?
But also, the most unattractive shots of desert, too. It's like,
This
is not pretty. This is like when you're just driving your car and like, oh, these are mountains. Like,
him sitting on his bike, him with his shirt off, legging on his bike. There's just, it's like such weird.
It's
porn
in a world
kind of
where
look.
Time. Does not exist as we understand it.
The idea that you're telling me that he shot like centerfold, like Playboy models, that makes so much sense
because
the gaze of this film.
His attention span is in snippets of idealistic moments that you would want to.
It is
get
like
your
those
boner.
Video, like I remember watching those like video centerfolds when you were a kid, like because it's like I like to run and bike, and it's like you're just seeing like these little Dutch angle shots of people like walking through a barn. Naked people.
He's probably like editing it. He's like, my dick's not getting hard. I don't know what the hell it is. Let's try another cut. Let's try another one.
Oh my God. But I don't know why they hired this guy.
Everything about this movie
nepotism.
Is fucking nuts. At the end of the movie, when Michael Gross shakes his hand and is like, thank you. Thank you. And then Vanilla Ice, it's the middle of the night, puts sunglasses on.
Yes. I was like, really dark ones.
And the parents go up to their daughter and are like, don't be out too late. Yeah. And they're basically like, go fuck him.
You go fuck him.
He earned it.
Fuck
get
him.
Get that icicle in you.
What a movie. What a
Let
movie.
Let him melt in your body.
Normally in this part of the show, we'd always read like a second opinion. There are no second opinions on this movie. No one genuinely. I mean, there's a lot of funny 5-star reviews of this, but it is all written and in joke. There is no one that really likes this movie.
He's not terrible.
No,
in
I
this
actually
movie.
Found him to be. I thought
he
this morning. I was like, he's compelling.
Got great bone structure. Like he's pleasant
he's
on the eyes. Like he's.
If he had a better script, I'd be like, oh, I buy this guy. Like he's, he's in that time and whatever. You
and
oh,
there was something sweet about him too. Like I felt like he.
You didn't feel like he was gonna rape her when he was in that bed with her. Which
you
is
did a, or you didn't?
Did not.
No, I agree.
You felt like, oh, this guy, he wants to flirt with this girl. He kind of likes this girl.
It was frustrating because in a way. I would have been on board for him and her and their relationship if it was just better told.
Not a hallucinatory trip.
Yeah. Not as if it was
Tree
like...
Tree of Life meets anime. It's like what am I watching?
If it happened on this planet.
And I think it's almost like, I wonder if they wrote the dialogue thinking it's like, oh, he won't be able to say more than like 2 lines at a time, so just keep it really short. But like, I was like, he's not saying anything. He's just saying like...
And he's delivering jokes. But the one thing that's kind of weird too is when they meet all the crazy white people in the town... Like, they always they're laughing a lot, like, ah, yeah, dummies. Like, which is a weird, also, direction. Like, they're not playing it really, I don't know.
Yeah. It's also kind of weird that those mechanics, like, when the police arrive and question them about Ice, they lie for him. It's like they don't know this man, and he's being accused of kidnapping a small child.
Yeah, well, you also forget that they invited them to stay at their house for 2 days while they fixed their bike after thinking they were going to buy
seriously,
it.
Seriously, I know we've said this before. Something's wrong with those people.
Oh, like, yeah. No, they had a child that died.
Them.
They had a child that died.
Something is wrong with these people.
I would like to revisit them in a second movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can I say one more thing?
Please.
I think that house was some weird house that actually exists in that neighborhood.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And they were like, you know what?
No way, it's too art directed.
They probably dressed
it up. Well,
it
is, but I think it.
But I think it had some weird element.
Because it doesn't fit with the plot of the movie even.
No.
I mean, why not go to a gas station? Just because you want to have a random dance scene in the.
No, I totally agree. I think they were scouting around there.
And they're like.
And they found it and they were like, you know what? Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I think the house had some like designer elements and then they just.
Because the other thing, like you said, there's no shot that connects those two houses.
No.
He just walks out a frame and then walks in.
Well, he's always like, I'm across the street.
Yeah.
Or whatever,
yeah,
but
so
you never
see
those two houses.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're not connected.
The
so as you can tell, a crazy, crazy movie. We have questions. And there's only one man for answers. That's right. The one, the only Vanilla Ice, who he caught on a promotional tour for his new DIY network show, Vanilla Ice Project Season 2, and Ice My House. He's going to answer all of our questions, and it really seems like, from talking to Vanilla, that he has accepted how this movie sits in history, and not only accepted it, kind of embraced it. Take a listen. Hey, everybody, we are here, actually, now we have a very special guest in our studio, Vanilla Ice.
Hey, hey.
Hey, what's going on? And you have been blowing up. I feel like there's a million things that you've been doing. You have movies, you have TV shows, you're a part of the ICP clan. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, but I want to talk about your show first on the DIY Network. You have two shows.
Right.
The Vanilla Ice Project, that's season two, and Ice My House, where is that? Is that in season one, or is that...
It's kind of its own show. It's
okay.
An hour-long program, and we went in and gave a renovation of $30,000 to a winner that, you know, we just kind of started this little contest on DIY.com.
Yeah.
And it blew up. We didn't think there's going to be so many people submitting, you know, entries to, you know, this contest, and it went off the charts. People were sending things in from overseas in Europe.
Oh, wow.
Like, you guys don't even get the show over there, but with Twitter and all this, everybody's like, I want you to come renovate my house. And there's a DIY to go app so they can get that on their phones and they can watch the show anywhere in the world. And now they're like tuning in overseas thinking that we're going to come there and do Ice My House.
Would you go overseas? Would you go over and do it?
I'll go anywhere and do it. I mean,
see you in Bulgaria just making over a house.
Why not?
If you can find the most remote tribe on Earth,
would that be classic
makeover?
Could you imagine?
Just remake my hut. Re-ice the hut.
Yeah. Remake my puddle of mud that I live in.
Just be out in the rainforest just making it, yeah. Yep. Like Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm. Now, we all just watched Cool as Ice.
Word.
Yes.
First of all, I will say I was blown away by this movie because it's a crazy movie. You're really good in it, and we all agreed on that.
Thanks.
Now, talk to me about this movie because... We have questions too. So what? Now it's a little bit of time has passed since you've done it. What was it like working on that movie?
Well, you know, it was amazing because, you know, you think about it. They let me be myself on some of these lines,
right?
And and to see that some of these lines have like stood the test of time. What it was 18 years ago,
zero
and people still know. See, drop that zero and get
zero
with the
zero.
Hero. It's like, what? People still remember that? I'm like, how do you remember that? That's crazy. But, you know, it's one of those cult classics.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, now, like, I imagine at this point when they were coming to you, they wanted you, obviously, to be in a movie. Did they have a lot of...
Money?
Well, yeah.
Was this at like the height of your fame? Like this came about, you know?
Yeah.
Like
they were capitalizing on the moment. And they were throwing money like crazy, and of course I'll do my own movie. How many zeros are on that check?
Yeah.
But you know what? I had a great time, a great experience, and you know what? The greatest thing is that it led to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Man, come on! The Secret of the Ooze. Are you kidding me? This is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Generation.
Yeah.
Obama. I heard that he loved and grew up to the Ninja Turtles.
If you have a chance to work with Donatello, you have to take it.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, totally.
I got to ask, in the movie, because this was a question we all had, when you guys ride in on the motorcycles in that first scene,
yeah.
First it starts with the opening with Naomi Campbell and the song and the video and everything, and then the next shot is you guys riding through, like,
the
fields and the countryside. Mm-hmm. Where had you come from?
Well, you know, the thing is that we're travelers. I was like a gypsy.
You're nomads?
So, okay.
Yeah, we said that. Okay. That was one of our...
Yes.
That was,
I have no home. That's the whole mystery of the movie, because
yeah,
here's this guy pops in on this city all of a sudden. Where did he come from? Who is he?
Who knows?
Who knows? You're not supposed to know. Movie magic. But we're drifters. Yeah. And I did all the stunts on the motorcycles myself. We had a stunt guy, and I was watching him jump. And I'm a motocrosser.
Okay.
And I've been racing motocross since I was 8 years old. So, I mean, I'm like, I can't let my guys that race motocross see you do that little bitty jump. Let me show you how to jump.
Wait. So you jump the fence into towards
you
the horse?
Jump
really?
The car, the fence, all of it.
Through the wall?
At first they were like, well, what if you scratch yourself or hurt yourself? The movie's just, we can't put you on hold. We can't wait for you to heal. I says, I'm not going to hurt myself. Just watch. And they're like, no. And I just went back and bam, jumped it. They're like,
that's awesome.
That was cool. Do it again.
Now, like, what kind of bike? Like, I mean, so did you pick your bike then for that movie? Is that all specific?
I picked the bike that I wanted. They let me have a lot of control.
And so I'm then assuming that the older couple in that crazy house were the actual bike mechanics on set, right?
The rest of the ones.
They were not. They were great. They were fantastic.
So I have a question about that house.
Yeah.
What was that house just pre-existing in this town? It was like this little designery house, or did they totally trick it out?
Totally tricked it out. It was a set house.
Base.
Yeah, it would have been cool, huh?
Because we were like, maybe it's this weird in this town. They found this funky house, and they're like, all right, well, we'll dress it up a little bit, and bit of this thing,
that house was too funky. Yeah. I mean, even if you don't have an HOA committee coming down on you, I'm sure the neighbors, if they saw that house in the neighborhood,
was ragingly 90s.
Yeah, it was all about it.
Like, was it like, what was like, what drew you to this story? Or was it like, sort of like, did you have like, was it like, oh, we want you to be a cop, or no, I want to do this, like,
I
love
sat
story.
Down with him and actually kind of wrote it together.
Oh, really?
He wanted
nice.
some things that I would like to see in the movie, and of course I'm like, motorcycles.
Yeah.
Motorcycles. But so they revolved it around the motorcycles and kind of, you know, got picked up on some of the light stuff that I like, and we incorporated it. And then I threw in my little drop that zero, get with the hero, or looky and Cat's Black Bookie.
Let's go.
We said that the thing that you pulled off in that movie that is the most amazing thing is you basically wake up in a girl's bed that you just met the day before and you're feeding her ice, and it's not creepy. Like, you don't feel like you've pulled that off. Like, that's a hard
because
thing. As
that's
an actor,
insane scene. She's in high school and you are just in her bed.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel, it does not feel like, it doesn't feel rapey. It doesn't make you feel like, oh, all right, that's good.
Like,
nice.
It's casual.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
Totally casual.
I find
she wakes up with an ice cube in her mouth.
It all depends on who it's with. The fact that it was with me made it all right.
Yeah,
if it had been Michael Gross,
and that's
super
not,
disgusting.
Right.
Super disgusting.
But like, it's like Charlie Sheen. You know, he can do anything, and you just can't hate the guy.
Yeah,
you just love him. You love him no matter what he does.
Probably unless you're Chuck Lorre.
Yeah,
Chuck Lorre probably hates Charlie Sheen.
I'm sure there's some people.
If you have not seen this movie, it really is like, it's so different and weird. I mean, it's weird. There's weird elements to it.
To that point, so at the beginning, there's the license plate says State of Mind.
Mm.
Was that just sort of like a little play on it, or is it saying like, this is going to be kind of a weird, almost,
you know,
like,
that's the great thing about it. Dreamy, trippy. You could almost, you know, you could do drugs and watch this movie. And there's a lot of movies that are great like that.
Not that we're
all
advocating
these colors.
That.
Not that
but
we advocate
are
it.
Advocating.
I'm just saying, there is some trippy things in there that make you say, like, who did they make that for?
Right.
That's not for sober people, that moment. That was a little...
There's a girl eating blue eggs with a giant salt shaker.
Exactly.
It's insane.
It has some elements that are like, you know, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Yes.
So did you intend to sync this up with a Pink Floyd record and then find out symbolism, or is it just
you're giving
of...
me too much control. I didn't have all that control.
Because I tried all of them.
My hair
doesn't matter. They just
did.
None of them worked.
And what were you on at that time?
Lexapro. So the original script was it longer than what you guys had, shorter? Like,
it kind of evolved along the way, because we were like making things up as we were going, because I think I did a couple of lines, and they were like, that was great. And I go, oh, so you mean I can go off script and do that? And they go, yeah. If it's going to be like that, go ahead.
Yeah,
be yourself. I'm like, okay, cool.
As far as like your storyline with the ex-cop father and the bad guys and all that kind of stuff.
That was pretty much written.
That's all written in. Yeah.
When you released that movie, at that point, was there like a big premiere? Was it all like the whole thing?
Yeah, we had a big premiere. It was right here. I think it was at the Man's.
Yep. Man's Channel.
And we had the red carpet, everything. It was great. Yeah. Lots of celebrities. And Bruce Willis was there. Madonna. I mean, lots of people. And it was just cool. It was, you know, sign of the times in the moment back in those days. It's amazing. I never in a million years thought I'd be sitting here with you guys right now talking 18 years later.
I know, right?
Cool as ice.
It has that kind of crazy vibe to it where it's like there's you watching it and it is like whoever said it's like perfectly 90s in that like
it fits
poppy.
It.
Colorful, mm-hmm. like insane.
It makes you miss it, doesn't it?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. You know, the great thing about the 90s is that, like, that's like the last time we had a generation that we could define that generation. You know, you could say that these moments in that time, whether it was Vanilla Ice, the baggy pants, the hairdos, the shave the eyebrows, the zigzags in the hair, or if you wore Z Cavricci pants.
Yeah. Oh,
or
my God.
It's just a crazy time of self-expression. Like, I was watching and I was like, my God, like, men, you don't see men wearing this much color.
Yeah.
Do you know
exactly.
what I mean? Like, well,
let me ask you this. We've got 10 years that have gone by, or 12 now, in the 2000s, in the new millennium. What defines it? There is nothing.
Just people looking down at their phones. That's about it.
Yeah.
Or,
that's it.
Or men are dressing like it's the 1800s again.
Yeah.
That whole look of, like, dressing like peasants.
Yeah,
that old hipster look. Steampunk.
Now you're part of the ICP, the Insane Clown Posse, and you've done these. We're talking about the gatherings and stuff like that. How did you get involved with those guys, though? Like, what's your entry into them? Like, you know, were you a fan, or did they come to you?
Is there a hazing process?
I had a weekend that lasted a few years. Okay, way back in the day, 18 years ago, and you know. I swam through some trenches. In order to get through those trenches to get to the other side, you're going to need a paddle. They were my paddle. They helped me get through the trenches and find my purpose in life and who I am and embrace who I am. And because I had issues. I mean, people saw it on Surreal Life. I hated the old Vanilla Ice, the image and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even though I sold 160 million records, it's not about money. It's not about fame, another car, yacht, a house. It's about who you are. What's your purpose in life? You know? And I found myself hibernating because I couldn't figure out who I was. You know, it's hard for, you know, I did it when I was 16.
Right.
So you think of Britney Spears, she shaves her head. There's a transitional moment where you have to figure out who you are and what's your purpose in life away from this larger than life persona of being a celebrity.
So you were 16 when Ice Ice Baby came out.
I was 16. I did the Stop the Violence tour. I was on tour with Ice-T, Stetsasonic, EPMD. I was the opening act for the opening act for the opening act.
Wow.
It's so funny because, like, I was 11 or 12 at the time, and to me you seemed like an adult.
Yeah. That's what I feel like too. When I was listening to it, I was like, he must be
so
out.
16.
How old were you
when
you did the movie?
19.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Because what's interesting with the movie is you do seem a lot older than
her. Yeah, so that's one of the other questions we had was like, she's in high school, but how old is he? What is going on here?
Yeah, but that,
like,
19
he's
is
a
fine.
Gypsy,
yeah.
So he has no age.
Yeah. That's the thing. Whoa, so now.
I love how you guys dissect it all and you like just look at
we
it
went
so
scene
deep.
By
oh,
yeah. scene.
Oh, my God.
We went scene by scene.
I just think it's funny and cool that I've made peace with it and now I can kind of join in with everybody and go, that's a great movie. Like you guys. I hated that movie for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost killed me. And then now I'm like, I love it. And I love the turtles. And I love, you know,
the fact that it stands as that. Which is why people still respond to it because it's like.
It's so unabashedly what it is. It's like, it's fun to watch. It is like, everyone's like, you gotta watch that movie. And I never had seen it. And it was like, oh wow, this is actually, I mean, it's trippy on a lot of levels.
It's crazy.
What happens with the movie is like, you do enter into a world, and it's interesting now to know that you guys were, the choice was that you were gypsies and you were sort of these nomads, because once the movie starts, you do enter into this crazy, like, funhouse world.
Yep.
It's like where the rules that we all and subscribe to do not apply.
Right. And then you start to see the storyline a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. At the end, it all sums up.
Well,
I'm
going to ask about you. In the movie, you and your love interest in the movie, in your mind, when that movie ended, in the world of the movie, did you guys stay together? Did you guys have a chance? Your characters.
Oh, you mean like, did... No.
She was going off to college.
And, but you guys,
June is living in the fiction of the movie.
Oh my God, yeah. You are in the movie. I love that.
But here's the thing: she's going off to college. The first year, she's going to have a lesbian fling.
Yeah. She's a lug, lesbian until graduation.
Just a little experimentation, and then how? You know, did you guys survive?
I'm just wondering.
June wants to know: did your relationship in the movie, like, if there was, if we were to fast forward, and if there was a sequel, would that those two characters be together?
Yeah, like,
well, you gotta remain a mystery. There's some questions that you have about movies that will never be answered. And that's the great thing about the mystery of movies.
Okay, well then let me ask you this.
They didn't stay together, clearly.
Let me ask you this. It's now 18 years later, is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Is it time for a sequel?
Yeah.
Is it
where are they now? You and Kat get back together. You ride your bike back into town. She's a mom with kids, but her husband is Nick. Yeah. He's still a dick.
Nick's a
right?
Dick.
Yeah. She goes you back come back into town.
That house
boom.
Has been condemned.
You're also like, you should grow a beard and get all shaggy.
Yes.
You're not yourself exactly.
Yes.
So you need to get back to who you are. She
Unless
needs to get
I
back
gotta
to who
pitch
she
another
is.
Idea that it's actually Ice who's now living a suburban life.
Ooh. No, how about I come in and that house is still that same way on the block and I renovate it.
Nice.
And that becomes season 3 of the Vanilla Ice Project on DIY Network.
So now that's a good plug. It's a now, plug. Really solid plug.
You caught it.
It is
on Saturday nights, right? It's Saturday nights?
Every Saturday the new episode comes out, 15 episodes, so make sure you creep on it, don't sleep on it.
And you're on Twitter, right? Which is
yep.
What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is at Vanilla Ice, simple
Perfect.
As a pimple.
That's I love it. And so we got DIY, Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, ICP. You'll be at the next Gathering of the Juggalos,
next
right?
Next Gathering of the Juggalos. I'm signed to Psychopathic Records, and whoop, whoop.
And all I'm going to say is, you know, the Juggalos do make movies.
Yep.
I feel like
cool
an updated
too.
Cool as Ice 2
Even
could be...
Even cooler.
It would be... I feel like that could be amazing.
More clowns in this one.
More clowns.
That's I it. Love clowns.
You come in with a group of clowns. That's
it. Yeah, it has a real circus theme.
You know what? That should be the thing. If you are... Like, you've now become, like, a suburban dad, and then the clowns come to town, and you kind of switch the roles. You're, like, the Michael Gross character
in
the sequel, and then they bring you into their society.
I love it.
Could be good.
Cold as ice.
You know what? Maybe we'll do, like, Cool as Ice, the first ever, like, retro with clowns, and maybe get Adam Sandler in there and do it in 3D.
All right, so any final thoughts? Anybody have any final thoughts?
This is one of those movies that, like, I feel like at the end of a lot of these, I'm like, would I tell somebody to watch this or not? And
I
feel like you have to watch
me too.
This.
Yes.
Oh, you mean...
I feel like you do. I mean, like, really, but understand, it's neither, like, so bad it's good, nor is it bad for bad. There's just something absolutely bizarre
Some
about
of the choices like, that are made are need to
you
be
need
seen.
To be you need to try and crack the code
yeah.
like Troll 2, The Room, Birdemic. These are movies that you need to see. You need to just be like, yeah, I have to see. I've always heard about this movie. And I've never had the instinct to watch it, but now I feel like I must tell people you have to watch
yeah.
it.
Yes.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
And the only thing I can think is that the original script was maybe 180, 200 pages. And they're like, this is too long, Mr. Sten.
Yeah.
You got to cut. And so they just willy-nilly put red our X's on every page. Like, we don't need this. This isn't important.
It's just like, yeah, I do want to know what Vanilla Ice is as an entity. Like,
I know.
That's
a motherless,
a question.
Brotherless, parentless.
Hip-hop nomad.
Yeah. Christ figure. He's a Christ figure.
He's basically a hip-hop gypsy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, now, just correct me if I'm wrong, but
is he
James Dean dies at the end of Rebel Without a Cause, right?
Yes.
I believe so.
So...
Not
That's
exactly.
not really a remake.
Yeah.
That's a happy remake of Rebel Without a
Cause. It's reinterpretation. It's fair.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you can always follow us on Twitter. Brian, what can they follow you at on Twitter?
At the Brian Husky.
I'm at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
I'm not on Twitter, guys.
You are a rebel.
And
I'm a rebel with a cause, guys. No Twitter.
We have those Ridiculous Cage t-shirts. Make sure you check those out and buy them. And we also are running a competition for a brand new t-shirt. There's a forum on the Earwolf boards. You can submit your designs. The winner will get something. I don't know what it is. I have to talk to the guy who runs Earwolf to find
pregnant.
Out.
Pregnant.
Well, yeah, you will get pregnant. thanks so much, and tune in next time for a mini episode. Bye-bye.
That was cool as ice.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.